everybody, and welcome to the very 232nd episode of the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast, a podcast about board games, and getting green. Because that's right, this week we're talking about two games that are full of greenery, shrubbery, and leafery. I'm joined today by best friend of the show, Pip War.
Hello.
Pip, we've played a game just now. You've played a game the other week, and we've had a hastily pasted together theme that they're both got green in them.
Yeah. We're very green and I was going to say fingered, but that's those don't separate that out.
We are both green and befingered in this pod dome. I was playing a game recently, and the first player rule was the first player is the player to have most recently harvested something. And I realized I think I've never harvested anything in my life.
Oh, really?
Which makes me think that I'm not. Well, I'm just not green fingered. I'm a technology child. I'm a cave dwelling goblin, and the furthest I've gone from my cave is to maybe pick a mushroom. Proverbially, I've actually not picked a mushroom in my life ever.
Have you come close? Like, what would you say you have harvested at all?
Anything? I picked a blackberry from a bush when I was a wee-in.
Okay.
And I nearly stole one of Quinn's chili peppers when I was watering his plants the other day.
I see, but you didn't. You came so close to a harvest.
To a bountiful harvest. I suppose watering Quinn's plants on his behalf might make me slightly green-fingered because I'm at least doing some, you know, plant-based activity. But all the plants in my flat die instantly, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they still alive? But, you know, we can just gloss over that if you don't want to be incriminated on a podcast.
Yeah. I sent him a message being like, hey, just watered your plants. And he was like, thanks. He's away, by the way. I don't just normally water Quinn's plants. Like, I'm not like his fun servant boy who like comes around to do his household chores. That would be weird, but also maybe pretty predictable if people have listened to the podcast a lot. I was there to water the plants and I said, yeah, everything's going well, except for these ones that look real droopy. And the panic in his messages that he then sent proved that he really does not trust me with even the most basic of tasks.
I mean,
I'm worried I've killed them.
Yeah, I don't have confidence either, given how you led into this. Well, I mean, you literally said you were bad at this and you've never really successfully dealt with a plant, so...
It's true. They freak me out. They can't tell you what they want, you know? They're just there, silently judging you when you mess up.
It's a good thing that you learn what they want when you're in school then, isn't it? By the way, I harvested something yesterday.
What did you harvest?
I harvested a cress from a little diorama that my sister sent me of dinosaurs roaming the earth in front of a volcano. And there's like a little space where you can wet some cotton wool and grow some cress as if it's a, you know, a wonderful meadow upon which the T-Rex is frolicking.
So you got sent a full diorama to encourage you to water a small amount of cress. Is this what it takes?
I mean, she also sent me a really tiny hand that you could fit on one finger and like poke people.
She knows you so well. On this podcast, we are going to talk about two games. First up, we're going to talk about Evergreen, a game about planting shrubs, bushes, and trees on a tiny little planet that you can call your own. And then we're going to talk about Planted, a game that I actually don't know anything about, and Pip's going to tell me all about it. Maybe we'll do some comparisons to other plant-based games on this leafy episode of the pod. Less games! First up on this podcast, we're going to talk about Evergreen, a game from 2022 that was published by Horrible Guild. You'll know Horrible Guild because they made site favourites such as The King's Dilemma and Railroad Inc. And they were back with a nice little game that's about planting plants. It's designed by Hjalmar Haack and has wonderful art by Wenyi Geng. This is a great little game. We played it. Well, I enjoyed it. I don't know how Pip's going to feel about it. Can I get your top line thoughts on what Evergreen did to your Everbrain?
I enjoyed it. I did not do nearly enough thinking about my tree placement. And obviously, I am terribly upset that you won. So
that's par for the course, I suppose. I think it's a game that I sort of about midway through we realized, but I think both of us realized to different extents that we'd ended up in a sort of like leafy cul-de-sac because this is a game, it's Regret City, really. This game is all about making mistakes early on that bite you in the bum at the end. Let me give you a little teach, listeners at home, on how this one works. So in front of you, when you start this game, you've got a board, a square board with a big circular earth on it, which is covered in tiny spaces that you're going to put charmingly named treeples in, which I thought was adorable combination, a portmanteau of tree and meeple.
You were so delighted when I saw that.
It's very sweet. I think there's, generally speaking, there's like a bit of a revolt against, like, because there was in one of the dinosaur based games, mm-hmm. might have been Dinosaur Island, Dinosaur World, you get a tiny little jeep that's called the Jeeple, and I think that's just incredible. Like, I'm all for twists on eeple as a sort of suffix to anything. So the way this game works is at the start of every round, you're going to have a set of cards that are going to be drafted by the players around the table. In a two-player game, there's just three cards. Each player will pick one of those cards and put them face up in front of them, with the other card going in a little pile for endgame scoring, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. Then what you're going to do is you're going to look at that card and you're going to see what kind of biome it lets you act in. So my card might have given me access to the green biome, or the red biome, or the yellow biome, or the blue biome. You then get one of four actions in that biome. The first one is to plant three little stubby sprouts in that biome. The second is to grow two of your stubby sprouts into medium trees in that biome. And the third is to do one of each. One little stubby sprout and one little tree. The last action is you can say, actually, I don't want to plant in the biome that I picked, and you get to go and plant anywhere, but you get to do a smaller action because of it. The second bit of information that you get from that card is going to tell you which of your special powers you're going to activate this turn, which are all up at the top of your player board. And every time you activate that particular power, its strength will increase. So for example, the little power might be place a lake, which is going to grow lots of sprouts around it instantly. The first time you take that action, you only get to place one lake. The second time, you only get to place one lake. But the third time, you get to place two lakes. So you're going to selectively pick the cards dependent on what specific kind of tree area you want to specialize in. The meat and potatoes of the game, though, is that the way that you're planting these trees is kind of clever and very similar to a game called Photosynthesis, which I think wasn't received that well? Each round, there is going to be a little sun at a different edge of your board that's casting light onto all of the trees on your little earth. The trees are going to score points if light hits them, but they also cast shadows over trees behind them. So if you're looking at the podcast thumbnail, you can see that I've got a little row of big trees at the top of my board. They cast a shadow of two behind them, which means that anything behind them is going to not get any light, which means that it's not going to score points. The thing is that the sun changes position each round. So on the first round, you're planting trees to receive light from the north. But as the game progresses, you're going to be worrying about different angles that light's hitting your trees in different ways. And oh gosh, it gets very confusing very quickly, especially considering the rounds start really big with five cards drafted in the first round until you get to the last round where you just get two cards to do as much with as possible. And that's the end of the game. And the person with the most points wins. This is mostly sort of a solitary affair, except for that drafting, which I think is pretty sharp. I had a good time playing this game. I think I did a very bad job of teaching it there. It's something that you sort of need to see to understand. Once you see it, you kind of just get it from looking at it in a weird way.
So I think something that is really intuitive and you'll only sort of need one round to get the hang of it is the way the light falls on the board. If you've played Photosynthesis, that's a huge part of that game, as is the trees casting shadows. In that, I believe it's there are eight different points from which the light comes. This one, it's only four. But you can sort of, you pretty much immediately start thinking, oh, okay, well, if I grow on this side, I will be sort of messing up the light getting to the trees behind those things in the next turn. You know, so you do start thinking in that way very easily, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's nice that there are these sort of two goals in each round. The first one is to get loads of points by the light hitting your trees at the right angle. But the second is that you also get points for having the largest forest, which is a connected area of little or big trees or shrubs, which are one of the little powers you get to place these little green tufts on the board. The thing that's neat about that is that light points, getting light, is going to sort of require you to have your trees separate from each other, far away from each other, so they can cast shadows and not cover each other up. But then the other goal, having a big forest, is pulling in the complete opposite direction because it wants everything to be nicely packed together. And so there's always this really interesting trade-off every single round of like, well, do I just plant all my trees in a row so they get blasted by light this round evenly and make a big forest? But that's going to mess me up in later rounds where when the light goes from a different angle, that row becomes a column where everything just gets covered in shade, and that sucks. So the way that you place things is really interesting and really spotty, and makes you sort of deliberately puts you into these little cul-de-sacs where you have to constantly make annoying trade-offs, and the end of the game is full of like you grunting because you made really bad choices early on and you're so frustrated at past self for putting that shrub there. Why did you do it? It's also one of those games where like the point tracker goes up to 250. We ended the game with like between 100 and 150 points thereabouts. And I can't imagine getting 250 in this game. That sounds, you have to have such a huge brain. Mine is way too small for something like that.
I think it's more that because this was both of our first time playing it, right? Like mm-hmm. it's one of those games where the shape of it takes, I would say, a game or at least half a game to come into focus, especially the longer term goals that you're working towards and the final scoring. I think that's something that if we played it again this evening, I think both mm-hmm. of us would have, you know, a lot more of a sense of strategy and what we were prioritizing in terms of the powers on the cards and, mm-hmm. you know, because I know that I also wasn't using much in the way of strategy until very late on with the well, in general, but also sure. just in terms of the cards we were discarding and what they do.
Right. So yeah, I think that part, I should have explained that part of things. I think it's really clever. And I think it's what gives the drafting part of this game a little bit of spice, which I sort of flipped through, you know, I flipped through the rule book and went like, oh, well, this seems like quite obvious. And of course, this is the way that things go. But I think the drafting is really quite special because what happens is each player will draft one card, in our case, from the set of three. They'll take those powers, they'll get to use the card, whatever. But the third card gets put in this pile. It goes into a space called the fertility zone in the middle of the table, which is basically showing you what biomes of the five or six that are in the game, which biome is going to score points for big trees. So in our game at the end, all the discarded cards in the green biome, for example, add up to a total of 4 points, which meant all the big trees in the green biome were worth 4 points at the end of the game. So you have to be careful about what cards you choose, but also what cards are going to end up in the bin, because what cards your opponent are going to choose might affect that as well. So you end up with this really interesting metagame of trying to make sure that pile is full of cards that you want at the end of the game, but also you need to take those cards to make those areas better. I think that side of things is really, really interesting. And that draft, I was constantly looking at it going like, ooh, and really crunching at the start of the turn, which then turns into sort of a relief when everyone then gets to go and do their own personal puzzle for a bit. And then you have the draft. I like that sort of back and forth of like players have to interact and they go off and they do their own separate thing for a little bit and then they interact. And I think that keeps it going pretty quick for what could be a really long game. This flew by pretty quickly.
Mm. I definitely had a moment where because the way that we were playing it on BGA, the fertility zone was actually slightly off my screen. So I think that right. didn't help with like keeping it in mind. But then at some point I had two cards from the draft because you'd gone first and I was looking at them thinking, I genuinely don't know because both of them are bad picks for me.
Yeah.
And so then I looked at the fertility zone and suddenly realized, oh, the snow hare from the icy biome has a skull on it and that invalidates the previous card in the fertility yes. zone of that type. And so I was like, ooh, maybe I could use that to mess with Tom if I leave that mm-hmm. and it gets into the fertility thing. You had planted not one single sausage in the icy zone. So
I didn't care for it.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I'll be the only one that suffers from that then, won't I? So I picked the other one, and that was some very basic strategy at play.
I think there's definitely something really nice about when there's just three cards in a draft, the way that you can, if you're the first player, the way that you take that first card and you're almost like posing a question to the second player. Because I think there's also a really nifty thing where if you're the first player, you take a card and then you put the first player token on one of the cards, which basically tempts the player towards picking that one, because then they get to be first player and get to pick maybe what they want. And I always loved that there was always an interesting question proved by those cards every round. There was never a draft where everything felt really obvious, because whatever you pick is going to affect, you know, that fertility zone, which is going to affect the scores of everyone at the end of the game and change everyone's priorities. Just a lot going on here that I think is really nifty. It's really good. I think it's in the same sort of vein as those puzzly games, a bit like Azul would maybe be a comparison for me. Okay. There's a bit of spatial stuff, but there's also that draft is kind of like a bit more mean and spiteful than you might expect.
So I think for me, because I have played Photosynthesis a couple of times, and it's fine.
So I've heard.
So whereas Photosynthesis has quite a simple use of those things, the evergreen complexity that it adds with the drafting, with the fertility zone, with the way that the endgame points work and so on and so on, it just feels like it adds that crunch for me. And I'm like, whereas if somebody brings out Photosynthesis, I'm like, okay, remind me what we're doing. Then, I mean, that's more about my memory than anything. But sure. Whereas with this, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I want to see if I can actually have a plan or actually like make better use of these resources and things. Like, because obviously you taught it to me when my brain very, very small. And so I clearly had gone, okay, cool, forest, sure, I know what one of them looks like. And to me, a forest involves quite a lot of twigs and small shrub, like not shrubs, but like, you know, the saplings. But
yeah,
this game does not count those as forest. And so I'm
twigs don't count. This game is a twig denier.
Why are my awful little stubby brown sticks not amassing me huge amounts of points? What gives, Tom? This is ridiculous. And you were like, it's the green things that count as a forest. And I'm like, reasonable, but also curses.
I really enjoyed you describing it as being your brain having a one-in-one-out policy by the end of the rules, where I was like, also, let me explain how the fertility zone works. And you went, no. We gotta go. We gotta move it. I'm gonna forget what the basic structure of this thing is if you let me go on any longer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very much like a nightclub on a Thursday night or something, you know.
Pip, you've been playing a game called Planted, and I think you're gonna tell me about it. What's going on?
Sure did. Sure do. Sure will.
Woo!
So Planted is by Phil Walker Harding, published by Buffalo Games. And I don't know why I said that like that, but I'm just going to
I liked it a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think that's the official pronunciation. It's Buffalo.
Anyway, so it is a game about plants. It is a game about having the sort of the most well-tended nursery after four rounds. So in front of you, you have your nursery card that things sort of slot into and around in the play space. You've also got a bunch of card draw piles and so forth. And the idea is essentially to build up your collection of plants in your nursery to accrue tools that help boost the resources that you can acquire to feed them, and to also get decorations, which will be more in the realms of endgame scoring and point boosting and so on. Yeah. You start with a beginner plant. Everyone gets a beginner plant. I believe they all have the same spaces on them for endgame victory points.
I think you're going to say, I believe they're all cactuses. The classic beginner plant.
I think mine was a spider plant. So,
And the other beginner plant.
Well, it allowed me to trot out one of my favourite plant facts, which is, you know, those offshoots of spider plants, you know, when they get like, you know, when they start growing extra spider plants off the side, those are called pups.
Which is, that's kind of cute.
Very cute, I thought.
Yeah. That made me feel bad about not tending to the one spider plant that I had, eventually killing it. So I guess I killed off a whole litter in one fell swoop.
Wow, Tom.
I'm sorry, I'm not a plant dad.
I mean, you did make an active choice not to look after it, it seems. So, you know.
Not an active, I just forgot about it.
We'll litigate this another time in plant court.
No, don't bring me back.
Anyway, so the way it works is each round you will have six resource cards and two item cards in a hand each. And each turn in a round takes the form of you'll draft a card from your hand, you'll pass the thing along, and instead of you building up a hand of cards, you are playing them that very moment. So it's resolved each time you hand the cards around to the next player. And so as you play those, if it's an item, you can, or sorry, if it's a tool, you can use that and immediately gain the resources. So there's sunlight, there is water, and there is fertilizer. There is also a resource, a wild card resource called Green Thumbs, and you can trade two of them to be worth any one resource. Anyway, and so you play those out. If they are, if it's a decoration, it goes in the decoration area of your play space, and that's mostly just, you know, you keeping an eye on goals for end game scoring. If you would like more than just your beginner plant, well, you're supposed to shout nursery, but I've never done that part of a game where you're supposed to shout the word or shout a very specific thing. Like, I always feel weird. Like, immediately, like, even if it's what I would have said in the game naturally, I suddenly become really weird and self-conscious about it. Anyway, you can shout nursery to use that card instead for purchasing a plant from a like a little display or four. And as you reach the end of the round, you spend your resources on the things in your nursery. So you can't carry over those resources. So you have to spend them that round or change them into like propagation points, which is just like a little way of holding on to some of the value.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so for example, a plant might have two water droplets and a sunlight on the bottom of it. And in order to get it through a growth phase, you will spend those resources. You'll put a little marker on the appropriate space on the card, and those victory points are yours at the end of the game. Some plants have multiple growth phases possible, so you will be able to fill those out if you have enough rounds and have enough resources, and usually you'll sort of get higher points the further along that track on each card you can go. Some will only have like the one space, and so they're good for late game pickups or, you know, just sort of odd, oh, I need this type of plant for a victory condition on my decoration, like, you know, requirements and so on. Yeah, and then each round you change direction with the card draft, which absolutely kills my brain. I can't deal with it. I had to actually like ask the other people I was playing with to keep on that, because I was just like, I'm not gonna know, I'm not gonna remember, and it messed with my brain so badly.
It's the kind of rule that is good for the game. It's bad for the brain. We know it.
Yep. I think the tools is the one thing that I didn't really cover off. Essentially, they are going to mostly just apply to the resource cards that you play. So, for example, mm-hmm. if I played a 2 water droplet card, I would use that to pick up 2 water droplets usually. But some of the tools that I might have added to my nursery can then sort of say, oh, if you play a 2 water droplet card, you can get a green thumb as well, or you can get another water droplet, etc.
I can see here they're like thematic as well. So it's like spray bottle, you get an extra green thumb if you have a 1 water card. So it's like making your little bit of water go a little bit further, which is cute.
Yeah, it's really nicely thematic. It's very, very light engine building. Because, you know, it's with only 4 rounds, I found that stuff was a nice extra, and I mm-hmm. could make it work quite well with the number of plants that I was picking up. So I would say it's really well balanced, but it also, you know, it did feel a little bit like I couldn't really snowball it into, you know, a very specific direction or something. I don't know if that would have been satisfying, but it's, you know, it was just that sort of, oh, I need to calibrate for a gentle help rather than a big
torrent.
Big old boost.
I always feel that's like when you sit down to an engine builder, your brain is automatically being like, what am I going to become the ruler of this game? What's going to become my domain? Am I going to be king of the waves? As in, I've got like a million spray bottles that I can blast at my plants every single turn.
Well, I'll tell you what, I put all of my eggs in hanging baskets.
Hey.
How did
that work out for you?
I won. I was like, hey. I was delighted. And it was one of those things where luckily, as the draw went round, I would often get the, I believe, the macrame basket, which I could then add to my display.
Growing collection.
And that would be, you know, extra points per completed, I think. Fully grown, you know, plant at the end of the game that was a hanging basket plant. And they're cumulative. You can play more than one. So I was fully covered in macrame baskets by the end.
I have one question.
Please.
About this game.
Yeah.
Can you kill your plants? Now, I know that sounds like I'm being obsessive, mm-hmm. but when you said that, you know, you can like feed your plants some water and they get some little point tokens on them, do you have to sustain all of your plants, or can you just grow one enough and then be like, I've had my fun with golden barrel cactus, now on to inch plant?
So you've got up to 6 spaces for plants on your nursery. Mm-hmm. You start off with one of them filled by this beginner plant, and then it's any that you pick up from the little shop thing.
Yes.
You can't kill them, but you can obviously fail to get them to fully grown status. And
so you can be stuck with them.
Yeah, and you can also, and that's, you know, if the resources don't come out in your favor and you can't, you know, if you are not making wise choices with the tools to make the most of, you know, what you've got or the, you know, that kind of thing can happen. You might also be in a situation where you don't really, where you can't feed all of them, and so you're right. Like, okay, well, I'll pick this one this turn, or, you know, you'll make those decisions about which ones you think you can get the most points out of, because you have to start from the bottom growth space, and so, you know, if there's something that's going to get you a lot of points later on, then you should obviously focus on that one versus the piddly one. But yeah,
I love the idea of a sort of nursery owner that's kind of held hostage by their plants that require like so many gallons of water that they have to choose which ones to like let die every round. It's like, I only have, like, I'm spending so much water. There's a hose pipe ban in place, and yet my inch plant requires 2 whole water this term that I cannot provide.
I know, right? Well, so so you can't feed, or you can't get them through multiple growth phases in a round. So there's also a certain amount of trying to think about how many rounds are left, how many resources you have, and therefore how many spaces on your card you could legitimately actually fill up.
Right.
And so there's elements of strategy there. And once something is full, you can't, you know, put more onto it. So if you've essentially chosen tools that really help you with one particular type of plant, mm-hmm. but that then has been filled up, you might struggle to, you know, scrape together more points if your other plants don't sort of fit into that strategy or that way of playing. You know, there is a nice little bit of light thinking about things, and it was surprisingly quick, whereas something like Verdant has, I would say, it shares a bunch of DNA with that in some regards, but it takes a lot longer, and there's a bit more to get your head around in terms of explaining it. So, you know, it was one of those ones where I went through the rules, taught it, and then was expecting to have a bit more downtime before needing to figure out what else we could play. Do you know what I mean? And then it was like, oh no, now I have to make another decision. Oh no, this is the worst.
So would you say, do you think that you would, do you prefer Planted to Verdant?
I think they are different headspaces, because actually that evening we did play Verdant as well. And Tipperary. The only reason I'm mentioning Tipperary is because it tells you that the way that you pick a first player there is the last player who saw a sheep in real life.
Excellent.
So, you know.
I love a good first player rule, and that's a cracking one.
Yeah, pretty good. So Verdant is something where you can really sort of get into your own brain and try and figure out the, you know, you're really planning a space and you are keeping an eye on a bunch of different things, and like you are monitoring for particular end game conditions and so on. And in Planted, it's not that you're not doing that, it's just that you're doing less of it, or it at a different level. And so I would say this is far more the sort of thing that I would crack out for a more casual group, mm-hmm. or for, you know, maybe a family, like, you know, with slightly older kids, but, you know, with that sort of vibe.
Planted a little breezier then, a little simpler, but also there's like, I guess because it has a draft as it's like sort of primary. I can't actually remember if Verdant has a draft as well.
Verdant draws from the center. Essentially a setup where there are plants along the top, rooms are along the bottom, and then between them there is also an extra, like an accessory, like a couch or
pairs,
a cat or something. Yeah, and you put green thumbs, that game also has green thumbs, on the card that you didn't pick. And so, you know,
gets a little juicier. Mm-hmm. I remember that now. I guess then, so Planted doesn't really give you the here's what you could have won as much as Verdant does, where it's like that open draft, meaning that you're already thinking about your dream home together with that particular cactus before it gets rudely snatched away by one of your compatriots.
Yeah, and there's also the amount of... So with Planted, you can get a little bit of that because obviously you see the cards in your hand and, you know, you've got 8 cards to start with, and I was playing it with 2 other people. So it went round me a few times, and you would sort of have a little bit of an idea of what you wanted to do, and that could be thwarted But sometimes you got to the end of the round and you were passing, you know, three water cards to the next person. And it was like, well, I guess in some ways that's useful because I know exactly what I'll get at the end of this. I know what's coming back to me, so I'll plan for that. But, you know, so, but you can tell that it's lighter in terms of the strategy and stuff. So, yeah, so it was kind of a nice little thing. And it was nice to be able to play that the same evening as Verdant and everyone have a bit of a, like, it was obviously the sort of deeply cozy evening where everyone was like, you know, rather than
the three styles of board game represented audibly by Pip.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast. We talked about some green games. I don't really know how we're going to end this one. I don't know what the lead-off is. I mean, the sting, you know, the outro music will sort of be gently rising in the background sometime soon, giving whatever we say a sort of sense of finality about it. But I don't know what the cap is. I don't know what the finale is.
Tom?
Yes?
Should we both go outside and touch grass?
Let's go out and touch some grass. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye.